Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 238. Today, Vega asks, could you define transparent world-building and unpack the idea, possibly with examples of transparent versus opaque world-building? Which authors would you say are good at this technique? Transparent world-building is where you manage to paint the setting, including the physical surroundings, the mental context, the personal histories of the characters, and whatever cultural realities are shaping or informing their behavior, in such a way that the audience doesn't notice you're doing it. From the audience's perspective, they immerse completely in this world and they don't understand how you're giving them so much detail. Opaque world building is where you pause the storytelling to explain what's going on. Opaque world building, the most obvious form, is the info dump. Discussing these two techniques, I must point out that it is possible to do opaque world building very, very well. The master of it probably is Stephen King. Isaac Asimov was very good at it. It's sort of the way that most people do their storytelling. And it's possible to do it fantastically well. Transparent world building, much more difficult to do well than opaque world building, but it has a few advantages. It's especially useful for telling stories that are more strange than normal. The further you get from your audience's cultural and mental contexts, the more detail you have to supply to them so that they can follow your character's perspective and understand the world through your character's eyes. So the further you get along that continuum, the more advantageous transparent world building becomes, because you get to a point where if you're using an opaque world building technique, you basically have to start explaining things propositionally and giving little cultural and historical lessons or science lessons in the text in a way that sort of jumps out. And you basically have to educate your audience in the world that your characters are in as you go along. And the more opaque your world-building technique is, the more it'll interfere with a direct emotional connection into the life of the character. Frank Herbert was very good. Particularly, you read the first 2 to 5 pages of Dune, and you learn almost everything you need to know about the universe. Now, you don't learn everything about the universe. There's literally thousands of pages of reference books that have been published just elucidating the details of the world. So you don't learn everything about the universe, but you learn everything you need to know about the universe before the action begins. And it's not done with an info dump. It's done with a walk through a courtyard. And it's utterly transparent. I mean, if you look, you can see what he's doing. But to the average reader, you sit down and what you experience is a walk through a courtyard. But by the time you get to the far side of the courtyard, you are prepared for the strange things that are going to unfold because you know enough of the cultural and historical context of the Dune universe and even some of the technological context for the scene not only to make sense, but to be utterly gripping, which is a fantastic, fantastic thing. Of course, when it comes to transparent world building in genre, Heinlein was the master. This is what set Heinlein apart in his early stories and leapt him out in front of the pack of some very good writers who were his competition in the pulps. And if you look at two of the grand masters, Heinlein and Asimov, Asimov was a very opaque world builder. He was very solid. But Asimov explained his worlds to you. Heinlein never explained anything. Particularly in his early short stories, he dropped you in the middle of the story, gave you a complete experience without ever once explaining something. The only time there was an explanation, it was when two characters would be working out a problem between them, and that usually only happened where the problem that they're working out was the point of the plot. So, what's the trick to transparent world building? The trick to transparent world building is to supply the details to your audience about a paragraph before they realize they need it. And this is one of the reasons it's tough, because you have to have a good idea of what your audience is going to be thinking as you go. Opaque world building is safe because you supply the details up front, and if your audience forgets them, well, it's kind of their fault, and if you've done your info dump right, they're hooked anyway, so it doesn't matter. With transparent world building, you're basically laying track in front of the reader as the reader is barreling toward you on a train. And you need to have that track down in place right before the reader crosses over it. If you do it sooner than that, you'll be loading them down with details that they may not remember and that can impede the flow of the story, or at the very least will draw attention to themselves. If you do it later than that, the reader goes off the rails and becomes confused until you catch them back up again. In my story, Pick a Card, which is going to be the March Free Story of the Month on my website starting March 1st, the main character is black. It's important to the story because it forms part of the texture of the characterization and the character dynamics that are going on, but it's not important to the story in such a way that I have to start off with, Peter was an African-American teenager who was 17 years old. These are all important details about him, but I don't drop these details in until such a time as they are important to the story. And I drop them in slightly before they become important to the story, in ways that are unobtrusive. If I did my job right, and my beta readers said I did, though you may disagree when you read the story, and that's fine, but if I did my job right, you would get to about the halfway point in the story, and you will have picked up a whole slate of details that are desperately important for the second half of the story. But you will have picked them up without realizing that they're being fed to you. You'll have picked up that Peter is an only child who's 17 years old, who's trying to avoid going off the rails like his male relatives have, who's got a relationship with a dying grandfather. He's got not just an interest or a hobby in stage magic, but it's a deep passion of his life. By the time you hit what's about page 5, you should know all of these things, as well as know quite a lot about the town he's in, about the status of its economy and its economic history. All of that you should know by the time that Peter buys the deck of cards a third of the way through the story. You have to know these things for the rest of the story to make sense. And if I've done my job right, as you read it through, of course now I've spoiled it, but as you read it through, most of those details you will absorb without ever noticing them there in the text. Which brings me to the way I can encapsulate the reason that transparent world building is useful. Transparent world building's primary job is normalization. When you're using opaque world building, what you're doing is you're frequently making the familiar strange in order to make it exciting. It's a very useful technique to use when your character is in a world that is similar to your own in all the ways that count, because by making the familiar things strange, you add texture and depth to the reader experience in the story. But when you're in a very strange location, or when there's something about the world that is unusual or outside the norm, and you want to hide it in plain sight, or you want to make it a seamless experience for the reader so they just soak right in without realizing how deep down the rabbit hole you're taking them, that's when you'll want to use your narrative tricks to create a transparent world so that your reader becomes immersed in this strange world, develops expectations suitable to the strange world, and doesn't realize what they're doing, because then the end can hit them hard. Transparent world building, let's see who else was great at it. Rod Serling was fantastic at it, particularly in print. Most of the Twilight Zone stories depended on that kind of world building so that the twists in the end would really, really work on the audience. Because to make a twist work properly, you have to set up the expectation that the twist is coming while hiding that expectation from the reader. And you do that by embedding it in the world building that the reader picks up subconsciously but doesn't notice consciously. Oh, let's see who else. The Latin American tradition of magical realism is excellent at this kind of thing. These are stories where magic is ubiquitous but banal. That makes for a very particular set of expectations that you develop as a reader that you're not aware that you're developing as a reader, at least when you're reading in the hands of a master like Gabriel Garcia Marquez. So those are some of the things that I would direct you toward for transparent world building.
again, it's all about managing reader expectations by feeding them information they don't know they're getting. So the information comes up incidentally when it looks and feels like texture. You use details that imply a lot without saying much. Like in Pick a Card, I have a comment about one of the casinos has plaster falling off the walls. From that particular line, you, the reader, come to understand that the entire town, this Las Vegas-y town that this story is set in, is in a state of economic disrepair, because if the casinos are having trouble keeping their gaming rooms looking good, you know that a gambling town is suffering because the casinos aren't generating enough money. They're the economic hub of the town. If they're falling apart that bad, everything is falling apart. But I don't have to say there was an economic downturn going on. All I have to say is this deck of cards looked like the one that they used to use in the New Yorker back before the plaster was falling off the walls. And that gives you the whole thing. That's an example of the technique. Don't know if it's a particularly good one, but it's one I just ran across because I'm doing the audiobook for that story in between recording this block of questions. Anyway, I hope that helps. Thank you very much for the question. And feel free to send along any follow-ups. It's definitely worth studying. When you find yourself immersed in a story and you don't know how you got there, chances are the writer has been using these kinds of tricks on you. So go back, read again, and look to see how they've been feeding you information without you realizing it. You'll pick up a lot of really good techniques. I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.